We have to do our part to let our friends, family, anyone we can, let them know that this investigation is ongoing.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thank you for joining us for Family Policy Matters. Our guest today is Irina Grosu, Director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., where she focuses on sanctity of human life issues ranging from conception to natural death. Irina is here to bring us up to speed on the ongoing congressional investigation into Planned Parenthood and to provide us with an update on the status of David DeLeiden, the pro-life activist who was responsible for the video investigation released by the Center for Medical Progress last year showing Planned Parenthood executives and staff callously picking through the remains of aborted unborn children and haggling over the monetary value of their organs and other tissue. Unbelievably, David DeLeiden is currently facing criminal charges for his work in this matter. Irina, welcome back to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us again.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate so much the great work that you do, Irina, at FRC. As you know, Irina, and I know that you've been covering this very closely, a House panel held a hearing on Planned Parenthood in April. How many congressional hearings have been held so far on this matter, and how many others are scheduled in the future months?
Well, this one is the second congressional hearing on that the investigative panel has put on. We don't know how many are scheduled. This is an ongoing investigation. And so what is happening is as the panel needs more information, they are subpoenaing different companies. So, for example, they've already subpoenaed STEM Express and Planned Parenthood. STEM Express has handed over some of their documents, but not all of them. And so just last week, the investigative panel actually subpoenaed the two financial companies that work for STEM Express. They've subpoenaed Cinto Group and Five Star Bancor for documents, including invoices, balances, and they have a deadline of May 11th to get those to the investigative panel. And so this is an ongoing investigation, and as they gather more information, they're going to get witnesses together and do other hearings.
Well, Irina, tell us about this most recent hearing and what happened.
So this hearing was to show and that what they have discovered so far, which are order forms, purchase orders, emails with body part orders, invoices. There are instruction sheets for procurement technicians as to which parts of the baby they should collect. And these are all primary source documents that were in the exhibits. And so they had a number of different witnesses on the panel, including three former U.S. prosecutors, to talk about whether or not this is enough evidence to launch a federal investigation into the practices of the abortion industry, of the biotech industry. And they have found that there is sufficient evidence to launch this federal investigation.
Well, and I think it's important for our listeners to understand and remember, as they've heard our discussions before, that there are federal laws that prohibit abortion doctors from changing an abortion procedure in order to harvest or more effectively harvest parts from aborted children, and also for abortion clinics to sell aborted baby parts for profit. Is that correct?
That's correct. And actually, what this hearing also covered, they showed and they discovered that the overhead costs for the baby body part procurement is actually done through the biotech company, so STEM Express and other biotech companies, and they bear the cost of this, not the abortion centers, which means that any money that goes to the abortion centers sure
it's
looks
profit.
Like profit. Mm-hmm. None of those costs are taken on by the abortion centers themselves. They hire these technicians and they step foot in these abortion centers as part of the biotech company still. And then you see from these orders that they have orders for 18 to 19-week-old babies with their limbs, with their heads attached, and purchase orders coming up to $42,000. And so here are the actual orders that they have found through the subpoenas. And so it begs the question, why is there such an exchange of money for baby brains, livers, hearts, etc.?
Gosh, this is just incredible to even be having this discussion. I pray that we don't get desensitized to it because it is so gruesome and so horrible what has been taking place, but it has been taking place. Now, I think it's really significant that there were former U.S. prosecutors that testified at this recent hearing. Talk a little bit more about the specifics of their testimony, and were there other major pieces of information that they provided for the investigation committee?
One of the prosecutors is Brian Lennon, and he was a federal prosecutor, and he said they could establish probable cause that both the abortion facilities and the procurement business violated the statute against the sale of body parts. And he said, quote, "In my opinion, and assuming the validity and admissibility of the exhibits provided to me, there is sufficient evidence to launch a federal grand jury investigation targeting the abortion clinics and the procurement business identified." Same thing from Michael Norton, who was one of the other witnesses, who was former U.S. attorney from Colorado, and he said, there has been profiteering at multiple levels in this grisly business. In my opinion, there is probable cause. And so he also said that, and that it would be well served to have an aggressive investigation. And Kenneth Tsukia, who is also a former U.S. attorney from Florida, also said that there's sufficient cause to support full investigation by federal authorities. And so we have these prosecutors who looked at the exhibits and said, yes, this must continue, this investigation. We need to get to the bottom of this, because if this is happening in our nation, can we all agree, since this is against the law, and that there should be more investigations to find out what is happening, to see, one, to what extent these abortion centers and biotech companies are violating the statute and basically doing illegal activity.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Now, Arena, during the hearing, as I understand it, it was also revealed that Stem Express, which you mentioned already, which is one of the fetal tissue procurement companies, worked with over 100 abortion clinics nationwide. Why is this significant to the investigation?
One, there are about 500 surgical abortion centers in the U.S. These are surgical, meaning they're not medication abortions. They're not the RU-46. And usually when they try to get body parts, it's from a surgical abortion center, not a medical abortion center. So if Stem Express, as has been shown through their documents, has worked with 100 of the 500 surgical abortion centers, they're working with about one-fifth of the surgical abortion industry in the U.S. And in 2016, they were slated to work with half, with 50% of all surgical abortion centers in the U.S. When the videos came out, this stopped a lot of their activities. But this is what they were projected to do with all their contracts. And so we see that what David DeLighten showed, it was just the tip of the iceberg, that the fact that this only one company was working with a fifth of all the surgical abortion centers tells you how involved and active they were in this grisly business of obtaining baby body parts to resell to universities and tech labs.
Arena, based on the testimony that has been offered in the past and also in this most recent hearing, the testimony of these former U.S. prosecutors and others, where do you believe the investigation of Planned Parenthood will go from here in the context of our members of Congress?
Well, I think that the investigative panel is going to continue to issue subpoenas. They're going to continue to call hearings. We have to do our part to let our friends, family, anyone we can, let them know that this investigation is ongoing and that there is a lot of evidence out there showing the fact that Planned Parenthood, Stem Express, and other biotech companies and abortion facilities have been doing this and continue to do so. We are going to continue to just reveal all the information that they have collected and are continuing to collect on this case.
Thank you for doing that. Now, Arena, I want to, and we've already talked about David DeLighten a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit more about him and kind of give our listeners a status update. David DeLighten was the pro-life journalist who started this whole thing. Tell us about the latest in his case. Has he so far spent any time in jail? What's next for David DeLighten?
there are two major lawsuits, one in California, one in Texas. And just on May 5th, the Life Legal Defense Foundation, which represents David, filed a motion to protect his freedom of speech in California. As some of your listeners may be aware, his apartment was raided in California, and Planned Parenthood filed a lawsuit trying to silence and punish David for gathering information about Planned Parenthood's industry. In terms of Texas, he posted bail earlier, a couple months ago, and he turned down a plea deal, and his attorneys and supporters went to the Harris County District Attorney's Office and basically said that Devon Anderson is biased because of her own association with an attorney for an abortion practitioner. So there's definitely a link to the abortion industry and in Texas. So they filed a motion there to overturn the criminal indictment, and basically that would dismiss the charges filed against David. So we're going to see what's happening with that. Both have been filed in both Texas and California, and we're going to keep on tracking that and following David.
We'll be watching that very closely, too. And thanks so much for those updates, Arena. Before you go, tell our listeners some ways that they can help keep this issue alive. How can our listeners encourage friends, family, and others to stay involved in this issue to keep the issue alive? And also even to encourage the federal government, our members of Congress, and others to crack down on these atrocious activities perpetrated by Planned Parenthood?
One of the ways is they need to be educated on what the investigative panel has found already. And so they would be well served to visit the investigative panel's website. And so you can access that information on the Energy and Commerce Committee website. If you look up Selective Investigative Panel, that's at energycommerce.house.gov, Select Investigative Panel. Anyone who wants to blow the whistle on the abortion industry and has more information about the sale of fetal body parts or knows abortionists who've been involved who can talk about it, please write into this comment box, because it'll help the investigative panel as they continue to do their research. And also, we, FRC, has provided some research for them, so they could go to www.frc.org/Planned Parenthood Investigation. But for the general listener, I think just understanding and even looking at the exhibits and seeing, wow, these are all the different order forms, and being able to describe that to friends and family is important to keep the conversation going.
Well, Arena, thank you. And I do want to share that website again with our listeners so that they can avail themselves of that important information. And that's frc.org. Again, frc.org/Planned Parenthood Investigation. Again, frc.org/Planned Parenthood Investigation. Make sure that you take advantage of that information. And with that, unfortunately, Arena Grosu, we are out of time for this week's Family Policy Matters, but I want to thank you so much for being with us on the show and for your great work defending the sanctity of human life at the Family Research Council. Before we close, I'd like to invite you to follow the North Carolina Family Policy Council on Facebook. Just log in and find us at ncfamily.org. Again, at ncfamily.org. Be sure to like us when you visit. In addition, for instant updates on pro-family news of interest, follow us on Twitter at ncfamily.org. Again, that's at ncfamily.org.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.